Welcome back to Sisterhood Tea Party, where we spill the realest tea on self-growth, fierce friendships, and building your dream life, one slightly unhinged goal at a time.
We're so glad you're here, especially for this episode, because today we're talking about something that we're in the thick of, our content creation journeys.
Okay, but first, what's top of mind for you this week?
Jess, your girl is finally employed after months of searching.
Yes.
I am finally employed. I'm very excited. I actually start on Monday. So by the time this episode drops, I'll probably be at work for 2-ish weeks at that point. But today, this is my last week of just hanging out and not having to worry about applying for jobs and searching and stressing. I'm just so excited to finally be out of unemployment because it has been, I won't even lie, it's been rough. It's been a challenging last few months. Obviously holding it together and still showing up where it matters and doing what I need to do. But I mean, the reality situation is that tons of people are unemployed and still searching. And so my heart goes out to those that are, but it's not easy, but you got to keep going. And I'm very thankful and blessed to have this opportunity to start a new job and start a new chapter in my career.
I'm so happy for you. You have been truly grinding and going through it, like the amount of interviews you've done, the amount of prep work you've done, the amount of applications you've filled out and resume updates you've done, like you have truly been putting in the work. And yeah, I'm so happy for you. And hopefully other people who might be going through something similar see this as a bit of hope that there's something good. And I feel like you're really excited about your new job too. So I can't wait to see what happens. By the time this drops, you're going to have a promo by then. Like, please.
Absolutely. I will post it and everything. Because I haven't even, as of this point, I have not even shared it publicly. So only friends and family know right now, people within my circle. So obviously it'll be public by the time this drops. So that'll be fine. I'm very, very excited. I'm looking forward to it because it is a startup company. So kind of getting back to the grind and that fast-paced culture, which I've always loved. So I'm just looking forward to being part of this team and learning from them and growing. And who knows what's going to happen after that? You know, I'm just excited. I really am.
Yay. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. What about you?
Okay. So I'm going to expose myself a little bit with what's top of mind for me, but
okay,
you're like, I'm scared.
I'm like, yikes.
Okay. Biggest top of mind for me right now is trying to reduce my screen time. Okay. I kind of knew I've been getting out of hand with this, but last weekend, my nephew stayed the night at her house and we were all hanging out and somehow he brought up screen time and he was looking at his screen time and I was like, oh gosh, I don't even want to know what mine is. And he told me to look. First of all, tell me why my screen time is higher than a 14-year-old's. That's no.
And would you be able to I really just want to know where you're at because I want to compare it to mine to see if I'm also guilty of high screen time as well.
Girl, I think my number, you would know it's high.
Okay, so are we talking double digits?
Not quite, but like it was like I averaged that week 8 hours a day. That was my average. And like,
a day. Oh. Oh. Oh.
Yes. I was like, I was so humbled. His was like 6 or something because he's a kid and he's on summer break. Mine was 8. And I was like, I don't even know how this happened. And I can't even be like, I have no excuse.
So in a week, you're averaging like 50 hours.
It was depressing. And then my nephew like humbled me more because he's like, that's your average. That means some days you were probably on there for 9 hours. So this week I am being very, very strict about it. I've already dropped my average down. But yeah, it was getting out of hand. That's top of mind.
I have so many questions. Do you use there's a feature on the iPhone that like apps, mm-hmm. you can like lock your phone or not lock your phone, but like the app, or do you use that?
Yeah. So that's the problem is I was hitting ignore for the day over and over again, because I have that set up for Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Yes. And which are my most used apps, not in that order, but those are my most used. And I was ignoring it. So that's a problem. That's me exposing myself. And I will say this week, I have gotten way better sleep, way better sleep. I've gotten more reading done, which has been great because I've been behind on my reading goals. So that was the wake up call that I needed.
So that's good. But I will say, not to justify it or anything, but you do create content. You are on your phone. You're working, right? So you're creating content, you're editing content. So yes, you had high screen time, but you were also creating in that space, right?
Yes. It is true, yeah. But I do think that that is actually a part of my problem. And obviously we're talking about content creation today, but like I will get on there and I will create content. And then afterwards, I stay on there. And I think that that's why like I'm trying to be a little bit more like, let me prioritize my content creation. And then if I hit my limit, then beyond that, I need to be done for the day. And obviously there may be some days where I still need to like for certain things, but I want to try to respect the limit as much as I can, or at least if I need to extend it, only extend it the 15 minutes and not for the day kind of thing. And that can help me. But it is true. I do create content. So obviously that takes up some portion of my time, but not all.
That's fair.
Not
that's
8 hours.
I mean, not 8 hours.
Maybe one
it's
day,
fine.
Not
it's
today.
It's fine. And here's the thing though. You are not alone. You're not the only person that has high screen time, but you're being proactive and taking those steps to reduce it. And honestly, that's great.
Yeah. Thanks, girl.
I'm proud of you. You're welcome. We're just going to jump right in to today's episode since we kind of hinted at it. We're going to talk about our content creation journey. Jess, why did you start? Why did you start creating content in the first place?
It started just as a fun creative outlet. Just started posting funny little things. I think many people, I started thinking about it during COVID, right? When we were all locked in the house. But I didn't really start posting until after. Like I have been posting for a long time now. And so I've posted all different kinds of content, right? I've tried doing motivational content. I've tried doing travel, cosplay, books, all kinds of things. And it took me, I think, a long time to figure out what I really wanted to do with content. And I will say it like changes all the time, right? I think it's like constantly evolving. But I think that if I really reflect on the past and who I am as a person, it took me a while to realize that I've kind of always been intrigued by the idea of performing in some capacity and frankly being famous or well known. And I know you're not supposed to say that, but I feel like it's true. Like I really don't mind being the center of attention. And so it's taken me a long time to realize I think that I really want to be more of the center of my content versus like some people do faceless content and things like that. And I just kind of want to be someone that people relate to and that I can entertain them in some capacity. But yeah, what about you?
It's so interesting to think about this. When I first started, I'm going to use TikTok as an example because that's kind of where I kind of found out about content creation and what that could look like. When I initially started TikTok, it was during COVID and it was truly just to gain a following. So I posted a lot of trendy things to hop on and people were following me and I was like, oh, this is cool. But then I realized, okay, this doesn't seem authentic. So I actually deleted that TikTok and started again. And it was really rooted in connection because I've always wanted to, you know, create these spaces where people feel seen and understood. When I decided to start creating content, I wanted to have it focused through my own story. So a lot of y'all saw my dating content that I was doing for a while or fitness stuff that I've been kind of recently doing now, or through some conversation talking about boundaries or we've talked about on the podcast or other conversations that have popped up in my life. But again, going back to posting, I did not really want to build a brand. Like, that was not my goal. I'm just going to start throwing stuff out there and see what sticks. But I still wanted to be able to share those little moments of my life that did resonate with somebody that we could build this community and continue to talk about it. That's kind of where it started and kind of how it's going right now. But I really want to kind of dive into it a little bit more. With that being said, for your dream creator life, what does that look like for you? If you were top of the game, your dream creator, you're doing all these things that you've just talked about in your why and your vision, how would you live that out?
I love to think about this because I think about it like every single day. I'm like, this is what I'm aspiring to. Okay, if I was fully living my dream creator life, one, I'd be traveling full time. I would wake up, I would edit anything that I filmed the day before, because I don't like to film and edit at the same time. It's just overwhelming. I would go like midday, go take like a nice yoga class, maybe film some more aspects of my life. I've been really into story times, face-to-face content lately. Then I would head to our podcast tour that evening, because obviously that's content creation as well. And we talk about all the time how fun it would be to interact with our community in person and things like that. And then I would be in bed in a cozy hotel room with a cup of tea at night. And that's like that's my perfect day.
The way that I can just picture all of this in real time, just thinking about it, it all sounds so realistic. And I love that. That's absolutely goals. And I think that's the best case scenario, because at the end of the day, our vision is to truly show up authentically, build that community and create things that make people feel seen, whether that's something motivating, comforting, or to be entertained. We've talked about this before. I think for me, my dream creator life, depending on the focus that I want, because I don't think that I could just live off of dating content. I want to be able to talk more about things that just are day-to-day, more lifestyle content. So that would be my best case scenario, being sponsored by brands that actually resonate with me and relate to me and my audience, being able to go on these different brand trips, represent that brand, and not feel like I'm there for just like, here, you're here to like collect a paycheck and go. Like, it's truly like I'm part of this brand. I don't know if that makes sense, but like I'm part of this brand because I love the brand, not because they're sponsoring me. Being able to live that out. Again, you know me, I also would love to be able to travel around, hop into another fitness class, still somehow teach spin at the same time, because that was my first little side hustle, my first little side hobby. And I don't know if I'm ready to part with that yet, but I think that could be
a brand you partner with too in the future. Exactly. It's just like a different way of working with them.
Absolutely. I'd still somehow incorporate fitness into my brand, because this is how I started. And so I think I would keep that. So yeah, I mean, it's just truly about building community and just being authentic.
I love that question. Have you like made a list of the brands or companies that you would want to partner with in the future as like your dream list?
You know, I don't have a list, but I do have thoughts. Okay. Old Navy's up there, because everybody knows that Old Navy has me in a chokehold. Duh. Hello. But we've talked about this too, like ClassPass, any fitness related brand that I can resonate with, I would love to partner with too. Gosh, but I'm sure that there'll be others that I think of, but Old Navy's one, because I talked about this. I love fashion. I love clothing, and I love being able to have clothes that fit well and feel good.
Yeah.
But really any store brands that I really like, any fitness brands would be like the top two. And then like other things like wellness brands, stuff like that. It would be a case by case basis.
Of course.
But those are the top ones. What about you? Do you have a list? I'm sure you do, but what is your list?
I do have a list. I think like top of those lists are things like ClassPass for sure. Also Viator is definitely up there. I've promoted them a little bit before, but like actually have a partnership with them would be awesome. Fenty Beauty or Fenty Skin, really, because I'm literally obsessed with their lip oil here. I also love the idea of partnering with like local businesses and events and things like that. I love a themed bar, a cocktail bar, something like that. I want to get more involved with the local things because I think that's fun.
Here for it. I love it.
I guess moral of that is make a list. for like people listening, everybody. Make a list.
I'm like, okay, yes, I absolutely need to add beauty brands because we talk about skincare too. So skincare brands, beauty, all of those. Yes.
Let's talk about our first viral post, because, you know, everyone's like, oh, I want to go viral. So what's it really like and everything? So my first viral post, I don't know if you know this, but was a clip of a dog on a car at the Pride Festival. And I wasn't even in the video. I literally remember I made this video on the train back home from the Pride Festival. And I just put the song, They See Me Rolling, on this video, and it went viral. And I was like, wow, okay, cool. And then
I actually remember that. Because I had people being like, hey, look at this video. And I was like, Jessica. And I clicked on it. I was like, wait, that's my Jessica. Wait, that's weird. Somebody that doesn't know you sent me your video. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So that's how I found out about that video.
It's actually the only video I've been paid directly for, because after that went viral, a company reached out to me and asked for permission to post that video and paid me. And it wasn't a lot, but I was like, okay, cool. It was a year after that happened too. Yeah. But that I wasn't in it or anything. Unless you knew me, you didn't know who posted it. It wasn't until my Taylor Swift mastermind Pavloving my husband video that went viral.
That is the, yes, yes. Because all of my Taylor Swift friends sent me that video. I'm like, that's wild. So anybody who likes Taylor, that popped up on their For You page. And I'm like, well, you've now met my friend Jessica, because that's her.
It was such a wild moment because
yeah,
it's still to date my most viral video. Anytime I use anything with Taylor Swift, it does pretty well. But that is by far my most viral video. It was featured on a Snapchat article. It was crazy. And I had people like asking me for dating advice. And I was like, I've been off the dating market for so long. I don't even know how to use a dating app. Like, I'm not the person to help you. It was so funny. It was exciting. It was overwhelming. But like, it definitely, I will say, you don't want to chase virality, right? Obviously, you're like, cool, my video is doing well. But it is a little bit like gambling, I feel, where you're like, oh, I got the hit. But it's so random, right? And so you can't always recreate that just perfectly, which I know we'll talk more about. But it was an experience. And I will also say, if you go super viral, the more hate that you get as well. You hit a point where all of a sudden all the comments turn negative. Definitely on that one that happened and many others. But yeah, what about yours? What was your first viral post?
I think it was the Lululemon video.
Mm.
That video gets to kind of give you all some context. I had won a $500 gift card to Lululemon from the gym that I was going to at the time. This was back in, I think it was 2022 or 2023. And so I was like, oh, this is so cool. I'd never really shopped at Lululemon that. So I was like, I'm just going to film it, because I knew, you know, at the time, TikTok, people were just like filming things. And I was like, I'm just going to do that. People hate when people say stuff like this, but I did not expect it to go viral. I truly did not expect it to go viral, because like I said, I was genuinely excited about winning $500 and I wanted to share my shopping experience. So I filmed different clips around the store and that was it. I mean, I was in some of the clips. You see me trying on some of the items, posted it, didn't think anything of it. Left it alone for a few hours, came back and I had over 10,000 likes within that time frame. I was like, oh. And it just kept going. And so now I think that video sits at a little over 2 million, which is probably my highest that I have so far on the page. But after that, I had tons of comments being like, this is amazing. How'd you win it? What did you get? You should have got this, that, and the other. And I didn't really have any negative comments, thankfully. But what was weird about that video is I looked at the stats and my target audience were 18 to 24 year olds. I'm in my 30s. Not the greatest target audience. And so when I gained followers, that was the kind of the other gamble about going viral, is that if it hits the wrong target audience or not your target audience, things can be skewed moving forward if you want to continue to post content, because now those followers expect you to then continue to post about Lululemon or expensive high-end brands, fitness brands, anything like that. And so that was harder to kind of navigate a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's so real. I think that video, I know you said like, oh, people hate to hear like, oh, I didn't expect to go viral. But I remember that video being very well edited and it was very narrative, right? It was very much, this is what's going on, like kind of vlog style. Mm-hmm. And honestly, those are the stuff that's usually is the hardest to go viral too. So like, I get why you would be like, oh, I didn't expect this to go viral. Cause it's always the things that you work the hardest on that like go nowhere, I feel like.
And hello. Don't even get me started. I know we're talking like, about content creation, but like, don't even get me started. Like,
no, it's true though. I mean, we're going to talk about it more, but like, it's real. But then that one was like the perfect mix, I think, of like things people were interested in, like people are shopping there. Mm. I think Lululemon can be a little controversial too, because it's a little pricier. And yeah. Yeah. But like, yeah, I loved that video. You should do more content like that. I don't know if you want to, but I enjoyed it.
The funny thing about that, now that I think about that video, I remember scripting it out. So I filmed the content and then I had written out a little bit of what I wanted to say. So I just edited the entire video and then read from a script and did the voiceover. And so I just read it, but that was it. And then
that's pre-Chat GPT days, right? That was
I didn't even use chat. I handwritten, girl. I was in my notepad, handwriting. You know what I mean? I was really killing it out there back in 2022, 2023. But I think about that and I'm like, we just talked about this. You can't really replicate that. So what else can I do to kind of keep up with what's going on now in 2025 to stay consistent with the content. It's harder to create content that goes viral because I feel like it knows when you're trying to do that and it stops you from doing it. So just keep posting your content and see what happens, because it truly is random.
Yeah, rather than chasing the virality, chase the thing that brings you joy, because we've both gone viral several times since then, and we have on the podcast as well, but it doesn't matter what they tell you. And this irks me. We were talking about this before the show, but like, there is no perfect formula. So when you see these creators that are like, if you want to go viral, do X, Y, and Z. Now, you can take some advice and pieces of that and work it with it. It's like, oh yeah, a hook is pretty normal. Yes, you have to have some kind of hook, whatever. But like, if they're telling you this is how to hack the algorithm, or this is exactly what to do, or post exactly this number, or whatever it is, the only reason that video is going viral is because there are a billion people who also want to be creators and want to go viral. So of course, if you're posting about that, they're going to believe you, but it doesn't mean it's true at all. So you can't, there's no perfect formula. You can't recreate each thing. It doesn't always hit. And that's just the reality of it.
Exactly. And I wish more people knew that, because I can tell there are people who get super frustrated online when they're posting and being like, I'm just posting this to go viral, or I'm trying to gain X amount of followers here, follow me. Those actually hinder you more than anything, because you're gaining a following that does not care about your content. They just care about going viral. So they're going to follow you because you're going to follow them. But when it comes to them interacting with your content that you're actually wanting to push out, it goes nowhere. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very careful about the posts that you're consuming when you're going through TikTok, when they're talking about, this is how you can go viral, this is how you hack the algorithm, this is how you can do this. To be honest, this is honestly kind of an ick to me. I think they're all scams. I think they really are. And then these people are getting paid for this because everybody wants to do it. And they're thinking, oh, they've cracked the code, but then they get frustrated. And so be authentic when you're doing your content, because it will hit for you. You just have to keep work. You just got to keep working at it.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about gear and what tools we actually use to make content, because I also feel like there's a lot of scams and like just overwhelming amount of information here. So what do you use when you're creating content?
Honestly, I just keep it simple. So I'll use CapCut on occasion for editing. If I want to do maybe a voiceover or some layouts or different text. Otherwise, I use the TikTok app, or I'll use, if I'm doing something on Instagram Reels, I'll just use the Edits app. And I'll also use a ring light, kind of a ring clip, one of those flat ring lights for my phone, and clip that to my phone. That's pretty much it. And then I'll have my tripod. Keep it really simple. I don't really do a whole lot. I don't have a whole setup. Again, I love that people, you know, have the means to have a setup, but I'm all about my natural light. But sometimes the ring light in those certain situations where I'm filming, or if I need to film something last minute, it really just saves me. And I try and keep a charged ring light in my car in case the content strikes and I need to do it then. But if I need to edit any, if I'm doing any carousels or anything like that, I'll use Canva. That's pretty much the only app that I'll use in terms of like carousels. I don't really use anything else. Canva is the easiest to use. I purchased like the pro pack, so I have all the tools that I need. And then of course now I've been utilizing ChatGPT, which has been really helpful for caption inspo or working through some content, because she is that girl. So I utilize her when I can. What
about
you?
She's like our favorite coworker, honestly, right?
She really is. She really is.
No, I think it's pretty much the same for me. I use CapCut and TikTok for editing. I will say I used to like exclusively use TikTok, and then they like did a bunch of shady stuff that makes it so like they have the watermark and it's just a pain and all this stuff and da, da, da. Yeah. I find myself using CapCut more and more, but I prefer the filters on TikTok. That's annoying.
Let me ask you this. Sorry. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you film in TikTok, or do you film in your camera and then upload?
It depends on what it is. If it's just like B-roll of like random things, or I'm out in public, then I use my camera. But if it's like a trending sound or something like that, then I use TikTok. And then what I have to do, which you know, because we have to do this for when we're like doing stuff for the podcast, but the trick, if you want the watermark off, at least current day, how this works on TikTok till they take this away from us, is you change the privacy setting to only me. You post it without any text, because I want to post this on Instagram too, right? So I don't want to use the text in TikTok, because I want to be able to put my own text on other platforms or like YouTube or whatever. So I post it to only me. And then I go into the little only me like private file on my profile, and I hit delete, and then it pops up to delete and re-edit. And I select that and it puts it back in my drafts. So that way it saves a version of the video to my phone without a watermark. It's the only way. You can't save it without a watermark without posting it. And then I can go in and edit it and change the privacy and like add the text and everything. So I do that with TikTok and it's so annoying.
So annoying. It just an extra step and it adds that much to editing. Now, do you find when you do that, does your quality go down when you...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's also annoying. Yeah. And that's why, and like, that is a challenge because I find that TikTok content's more casual. Instagram's higher quality. It's probably why I do better on TikTok than Instagram, or part of the reason, but yeah. But if I'm doing outfit stuff or something or out and about, I don't film that in TikTok app. I add it later.
Makes sense.
But yeah, other than that, all the same tools as you. I will say recently I bought this little suction cup thing for my car. It's like a mount, a suction cup mount. I love it. So I've been filming a lot more in my car content lately. Just like when I'm getting ready to go into my yoga class or something. And I love that. So that's my other like little tool that I use.
You know, I do love the in-car content. And every time I want to do it, I'm like, oh, I don't have a great setup because the way that my camera angle, it's like at an angle and then it's only attached to like a little magnet that I have. I can't move it a certain way or make it look cool. So I get frustrated and then it blocks my vent. So then, you know, if I'm in my car, first of all, it's 100 degrees here. I can't just sit in my car without AC because the AC blows and then it blows into the whole thing. I don't know. I think that would be nice to get one of those. So if you want to just drop the link to that little suction cup mount that you use, that would be great.
My one caveat is I do wish mine swiveled more than it does. If I got it, I would at some point I will probably upgrade, but I do still really like it. But what my trick is, if it's not the perfect angle, is like, as I like zoom in a little bit before I post, like after I filmed, to like cut out the angle that I want. But yes, I will share the link. I do like it.
Okay, perfect. Now, what is a tool that you have tried and absolutely hate it?
Oh my God. Okay. So I bought, again, from a stupid ad, the back camera mirror because of the quality issue, right? Because it's like your back camera is better than your front camera, so you should film this way, right? Is what all the stupid ads say. So I bought it. Yeah, I hate it. Like, I'm sorry, I need to be able to see my full face, not this itty bitty little circle mirror while I'm filming. I have to. And so I really hope that the next iPhone that comes out has a really good front camera because that's what we need in today's world. I need a really good front camera. So that would be great. Apple, please do that. What about you?
That would be the best case ever it's just so frustrating to me because I also have the same issue, except I tried the screen mirror. So I popped up my laptop and did the screen mirroring and then set it up and it works. But then I hit record and it's delayed. So the delay hits because you're recording, you're trying to do this content. And so I'm trying to watch myself in the screen mirroring part, but also I need to focus on the lens and it's just the whole thing. No, those tools don't work. And I don't know how else they need to fix it, but they need to fix it. So I've just been guessing now and hope for the best. And that's the beauty of having a tripod, is setting it up and just sitting in front of the screen and hope that it works. But I've also had...
Do you film with front camera then, or you are filming with back camera now?
So if I'm doing in-car stuff or doing transitions, like I just filmed a transition like for my nails, I just did the front camera because I don't have a suction cup. So I can't flip it around and film with that. But I try to film, if I just did any outfit videos I've done, any of the Beyonce try on hauls or any of the outfit of the days, I will film with my back camera and just set it up and try and figure out where center is and hope for the best.
Yeah.
You know, hope for the best. But I think the other tools that I've used in the past, I've had really awful tripods that just did not work. I now have one that has like the little clicker if I need the clicker for any reason. Mm. Others in the past have just fallen apart. I've had ring lights that just did not live up to expectations. I don't know. Just there's a lot. And then I also had some really awful mics for a while. I bought a mic before the ones that we used for Beyonce. They were just awful. You know, saw the ads on TikTok and I was like, oh, these are going to work. And I'm like, this does not work for shit. Oh, switched them out. And then I got the ones that we ended up using and they worked really great. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be it.
It's like just the scammy videos of like, this is how to hack the algorithm. I think a lot of this tools are gimmicky and you don't need a lot really. And just keep it simple.
I was going to say, I think that's the biggest thing to learn about creating content, especially if you don't want to get overwhelmed quickly, is just keep it simple. You've got a phone that works. Make sure it's charged up. Make sure you have great lighting. Film your content. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Let's talk about, I don't know. This is such a weird thing, but I don't want to come off as like, content creation is so hard. Like, it's obviously not manual labor, but it is very tedious. And I don't want to sugarcoat that. I think sometimes people look at content creation as like, oh, it's just this easy thing. Like, anyone could do it. I mean, yeah, anyone probably could do it, but you do have to put in the time. And in order to see results and the impact, and the algorithm can be ruthless, like we said, it's not always going to perform how you want it to. And so you have to just kind of keep that in mind, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if it were easy, truly everybody would be doing it right now. And the fact that you still see tons of people that are doing it, but then they end up falling off the wagon, me included, because that happened too, because I did get frustrated in those moments of thinking, okay, yeah, it's going to be, I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I knew that I had to put in the work. And I think I overwhelmed myself with that, because there was all of this pressure to niche down. And I thought that was the most annoying part. And to this day, I still find it very annoying, because when I initially started my content creation, I feel like the algorithm was putting me into a dating niche. So anytime I talked about dating, the videos would pick up. And then anytime I would post about something else, like spin or something like fitness related, or if I'm talking about something else, it would give me 200 views and that was it. So I got really frustrated with that. And I think that was part of the reason. But there's always this pressure to niche down. And then again, you have to be consistent, having a hook in 3 seconds, making sure that you can bring those people in and keep them there without scrolling. And then, of course, posting daily. They talk about, oh, you need to post 3, 5, 7, 9 times a day to see results. It's a full-time job for no paycheck at first. And I know that gets people, because they hear all of these different, they hear all this noise about having to post daily. And they're like, well, how often is too much? And what time do I have to post? And, well, I live in this time zone. Does that make sense? Or if I post at, you know, 8:30 instead of 8, is that going to make a difference? Am I going to go viral if I post at 11 a.m. versus 12 p.m.? It's a whole thing. You know, it's just, it's a lot of pressure for no pay at first until you figure it out at that point.
Yeah, 100%. And you're right. It's so much noise, and it is time-wise a lot of work. You do have to plan the content. You have to film the content. You have to, you know, you just have to find out, how does it work with your life? And you have to think about, well, what am I comfortable sharing online versus not sharing online? And then there's this comparison game where you feel like, you know, there were times where I was like, okay, I am posting twice. I think for one full year, I posted twice a day, every day for like a full year. And then I would see another creator who was like, I just started last month and I blew up and now I have 10K. And I'm like, you know, what am I doing wrong? What do you mean? I've been putting in the work. And so it is work. And I honestly, it pisses me off when people are like, here's how I got 10K followers by this time. And I'm like, congrats. That formula doesn't work for everyone. So stop pushing that you know everything because you were able to do it on your one account. That's just not realistic.
Okay. And I think that is the most frustrating to me, are the people who go viral are the ones that had the one video. They're like, I figured it out. This is how I do it. And then they immediately started pushing courses on how to go viral in 1 month or 3 months. And it's just so annoying. So annoying. And with all of that being said, should we do a mini game of overrated or underrated on this whole subject?
Yes, please. Let's do it.
All right, let's go. Posting, and I talked about this, posting 3 times a day. Overrated or underrated?
Take it away.
It is highly overrated. Okay. And I think we can both attest to that, because our viral videos, at least for me, I was not posting 3 times a day to have the one that went viral, right? And the ones that have gone viral after that, I wasn't posting 3 times a day. I think the important thing is, if you're going to post, make sure it's content that you're comfortable with, content that you feel good about, and just share it. Don't put any pressure behind it and just see what happens. If you have the capacity to post 3 times a day, I love that for you, but that's not going to be me, mainly because I don't have the capacity and I get super annoyed on that app. And I'm going to let it hear me. Like, TikTok is my op right now. So I'm not posting 3 times a day right now. I'm not going to do that. I will be posting, you know, when I can and when it makes sense. And that's just going to be it. Anyway, take it away, Jess. Overrated or underrated?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say appropriately rated, but a whole lot of caveats.
Oh, cute.
Okay. So here's my thing. I think that the number three isn't what to think about here. To me, the number three is a made up number to help drive consistency, right? It's the same thing if you're like, oh, I'm setting up a workout plan for this week to hold myself accountable. I want to make sure I work out 3 times this week or whatever. Like, to me, that's what the 3 times a day is like. And it doesn't have to be 3 times a day. And then the other thing I will say about quantity, I think, plays two roles with creating content. One, it's practice, right? If I look at the way that I created content when I first started versus how I do it now, I'm just faster at certain things now because I've done it so many times. And so I'm more efficient. And then I can focus more on my creativity or my ideas or trying something new or whatever. Like, there was one point in time where I was even like setting goals for myself of like, I'm going to get really good at editing X, Y, and Z style or whatever. And quantity just helps with that. So it's not about, I'm going to make it big. It's about like building a skill more so, because like, you'll see people say like, you gotta post the bad content because you do, you, like, otherwise you're never going to get good. And so that's how I think about the 3 times a day, is more like, whatever the number is, how are you showing up for yourself? I don't set a number goal anymore. I just like, sometimes I go through like super inspirational like times where I'm posting. Like, I think yesterday, the day before, I post like 4 videos back to back. And I was like, I don't ever do that. Like, normally it's like one and I'll see you in a couple days. And that's fine. And then also like, to get over the fear of posting and like getting better and like practicing. So that's how I think about it. That's why I say appropriately rated.
Okay, that's valid. I like that. Next, niching down hard. I don't even know if that's a word. Niche down hard. Niching, whatever you want to say. Overrated or underrated? To niche down, well, it depends on what you're doing. So I think I will say appropriately rated, because I think it depends on your end goal. So for me right now, I don't really want to fit into a niche because I'm still trying to figure it out. So I'm posting to see what makes sense for me. Now, if there are people who are geared towards fitness, like fitness is your thing, yes, your niche is fitness, lean into fitness. And you can lean into different aspects of fitness and kind of go from there, and you can build the brand and gain those partnerships there. Same thing with beauty, lifestyle, whatever it is. So I think it's appropriately rated based on what your end goal is. If your end goal is to like be sponsored, have partnerships, all of these things, and truly make money off of that, then yes. But if you're just posting to have a good time and things go viral left and right, have fun with it. And I don't think you need to have a niche. So I think that's where I would land, is appropriately rated. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's way overrated. I think that social media has changed over time. Like, I think back in the day, you did need to niche down. You were either a travel creator, or you were a fitness creator, or you were this. And I think that like, it's interesting to even watch the evolution of brands. Like, I find that we as a society now are at a place where we prefer to support people, not companies. And so if the person behind something I can connect with, find inspiring or entertaining or funny or whatever, then I'm like, okay, cool. Like, let's go. Like, I'm all about it. And I think that that transcends into how content creators show up. So like, even if you're a fitness and that's like your main pillar, if you will, I like to think about it more as pillars than anything, then like, that's fine. But like, I think people want to see your personality behind that too. And so I think the idea that like a person at the center of it, and people are multifaceted, is more interesting and more where things are going, is my personal thing. I've tried doing niche down. I was like, I'm going so hard on travel. And I was like, damn, I can't afford to be traveling 24/7 right now. So mm-hmm. I run out of content, or I frankly get bored and I want to talk about something else. So that's my thing. So yeah, I mean, if you're into that and you find it and it works, great. But I think, I don't know. I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, that makes sense. Waking up at 5 a.m. to film content, overrated or underrated? I think it's overrated. I don't think you need to get up at 5 a.m. to film content. I think that is a lot. I think that, I mean, if that is what works for you, that's great. But I also think that you can utilize different times a day to film your content and do that, because not everybody works an 8 to 5. Some people work a 12 to 8, and some people work different night shifts. So 5 a.m. is not realistic for a lot of people. So that's why I think it's overrated. But if that works for you because of what your work schedule is and what your day-to-day is, go for it. But I don't think you have to wake up at 5 a.m. to film content.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think it's appropriately rated. I agree with you. 5 a.m. is just a placeholder number. But I am a big proponent of working on your future goals or your side hustles before your day job. Because think about it. You get to the end of your day job and you're just exhausted. You've been like on all day on Zoom calls, dealing with BS, and you're just like, and then you got to go work out or whatever. And then you're just like, I just like want to binge watch whatever TV show is going viral that week. And then you just don't do it. And so I'm a big proponent of like, I spend at least 1 hour every morning working on something that's for me and not for my day job and for my future. So whether that's filming or editing or whatever, I try to do at least 1 hour every day. Doesn't have to be at 5 a.m. though.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think 5 a.m. makes sense for a lot of people, but no. I do agree with the sentiment of like being able to spend time doing something that is for you before you get into your day to day. Last but not least, follow trains. Overrated or underrated? Yeah, I'm going to go with a big overrated on that. I just think follow trains are a scam. I feel like it's a way for people to try and gain a following quickly, but it's not an authentic following. You know, if you want to have your content be pushed out there and have the engagement and have people excited about what you post, if you're essentially begging for followers, and then when it comes time for you to post said content and you're not getting the engagement, you're not getting those likes and shares, you're like, well, what's going on? It's because you begged a bunch of people to follow you that are also trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. They also want to go viral and they want to create content. So they're like, oh, if I follow you, you're going to follow me. And that's just how it is. You don't care about each other's content. That's just not authentic. And that's not a great way to gain a following. So follow trains, big overrated, do not recommend. What about you?
Agree 1000%. I knew we'd find one of these that we fully agree on. Major overrated follow trains are. I think, no notes really. What you just said, you're basically saying, I'm trying to get followers, you're trying to get followers, let's do that together. When like you really should be thinking about how do I build a community of people who enjoy my content, right? Whether it's because I'm entertaining them or because I'm relating to them in some way, or we're having debates about something, or, you know, I'm sharing, providing value to them. And at the end of the day, you need to be providing value for people. And if the only value you've provided to this person is I gave you a follow back, that does absolutely nothing. And honestly, if you're trying to get brand deals one day, like the brand's going to be like, nobody engages with you. So it doesn't matter how many followers you have because nobody cares about what you're posting. So
exactly. Yeah. This is unrelated, but kind of related to like the following. So have you seen the video of the girl? I think she lives in San Francisco. I don't know if it's San Francisco or not, but it's a girl who was invited to do a restaurant opening and try out their foods and everything. Talked with the owner, talked with the manager. They said, yes, she shows up and the owner is like basically talking shit right next to her, being like, well, how many followers does she have? Does she even know our menu? He's upset with her. And he was like, well, we don't think you even have the right amount of following. We don't think your followers would even like our food. They can't afford it. She's like, okay. Leaves crying. Posts it online. Do you know this girl went from 15,000 followers? Mind you, just a local food content creator went from, at the time when I looked at it, 15,000 followers. After she posted that video, jumped to 72,000 followers because of that video.
Wow.
Yes. And good for her. Restaurant is getting berated. It's truly about the value. You can have the smallest amount of following, but if you have high engagement, to me, that is what matters, is having a true audience that actually engages with your content and pushes it out there, because that is how you will gain that following that you're looking for.
Yeah. And that's what I mean by like, people want to support people, not companies. Mm-hmm. Like if the person behind a company, like a restaurant, is not a good person, people don't want to support them. Right. And like, and I think it's the same for content creators. Like if people think that you're like genuinely like someone that they can connect with and they want to support, whether it's because they hate that happened to you and they want to see your success or, you know, whatever it is, like that's who they want to support. And so being real to you, and yeah, that's crazy. I now want to go look up what that restaurant was in San Francisco and see if I know it.
I will find the video and send it to you, but I was just blown away by the support and she's like, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. And absolutely she will.
Yeah, 100%. It also reminds me, I remember I saw a video go viral where a girl talked about how she was new in a neighborhood or something. And she got invited to a party. And then the people who were throwing the party were like, super rude and like kicked her out and stuff. And then she ended up blowing up because she like, shared this story of her basically being bullying. And I was like, dang, well, girl, you win. Screw that other girl who kicked you out and was like right. super rude to you.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, this was fun, but let's bring it back to the joy of it all, because at the end of the day, we're doing this because we love it. I know we bitched a lot, but we do enjoy creating content. At least I do.
Yes. And if the goal is freedom and fun, then we have to let go of the obsession with the numbers, because it's true. Like, we have to be excited about it and have fun with it and live it up. Like, I think you only have, like, this is your account, like, make it the most that you can.
Yeah, agreed. And not every post has to perform, but every post, like I said, it's like practice. It gets you closer to the life you're building. And so just kind of enjoy the process.
Yes. We want that life to be fun. So the process has to be fun as well.
Yeah. So reminder for anyone listening, if you're waiting for permission to start, this is it.
And we want to hear from you. So what would you create online if you knew no one was watching yet? And honestly, that's a great question. What would you create online if you knew no one was watching? I'm going to ponder on that.
That's what you should create right now.
I know. I'm like, what would you, that's a great question. I'm going to go ahead and put that online because we want to hear from you. So we'd love to hear your thoughts and share with us because we want to know.
Yeah. DM us, comment on our socials at Sisterhood Tea Party. Honestly, just say it out loud to yourself, like declare it, whatever you need to get started, go for it.
Absolutely. And now for our last drop of tea for the day.
You are allowed to build slow. You're allowed to figure it out as you go, and you're allowed to enjoy it now, not just when it becomes your full-time job.
Cheers to being in the messy middle of the dream. That's where all the magic is.
We'll see you next week.